Parshas Bullock, we wish and we seek to understand some of the writings of the holy Svarim. We'll start with Rabbi Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Ari, in his Igeres HaTiul, and he writes that sometimes we read in Tanakh about the Maisim of the Rishonim, of the early greats, and we take it superficially. But what we really want to do is Enom Bilvad Kipashtan. We don't want to read them on the superficial level. But sometimes there's something deeper going on. Enom Biderech Hizdamenu Mikrech Asfashalom. These aren't stories that happen to have happened. Circumstances came about. Happenstance. Al Yachshov, he gives an example. Asher Shlomil Shohi Asheni Linesiyam Mivchar. Dor Hamidbar B'Yimei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom Aduneinu. We might suspect that if the Nesiim are considered on a superficial level suspect of all sorts of types of immoral activities, he gives the example of the Nasi. And he says, Shayaparz Barayas, Kedas Apsoim Bnei Aksilim, it's only the cynics and those who read Tanakh on a very superficial level. In Bosi Levar Apsukim Atzrichim Lidorsham Yichla Hazman, he says, if we really have to read the Psukim and darshan them and interpret them in the deepest way, we would run out of time. Lo Yuchlu Ki Torah Eina Sipur Noshim Pidpute Ofos Chalila V'day Bozeh HaMevin Ki Dvar Me'lem Kivshonu Shel Olam. So this is like a general introduction to a lot of what goes on in Parshas Bullock, that we should be very careful not to read things superficially and jump to conclusions, but rather to see on a deeper level what's going on below the surface. Let's begin with a discussion about Zimri and his activities, his immoral behavior. The Gemara, the Agadah in Sanhedrin, Pei Beis, in this case it's Omid Beis, discusses Zimri in the context of a pasuk in Mishle. In the 30th chapter of Mishle, there's a very ambiguous pasuk. Zarzir Masnayim Osayish Umelech Alkum Imo. What is this all about? It seems to refer to different kinds of animals, to a king. And Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav, says, "My dichsiv Zarzir Masnayim Osayish Umelech Alkum Imo." This is a reference to Zimri. Arbamios vi esrim vi arba, 424 beilos bal oso rosha vi oso ayom. Again, this is an exaggeration of sorts, but the gematria, the arithmetic number that represents zarzir, that is represented by Zarzir, is 424. Masnayim is the loins. That's the part of the body that we're talking about in the activity of having Be'ila. And there was a Zarzir, which means a certain power in the loins. And that Zarzir number is 424. But the point is, Vehimtin lo Pinchas atshitoshash kocho. Pinchas waited on the sidelines until Zimri, in his relationship with Cosby, would have exhausted himself, and at that point he's ready, Pinchas, to attack Zimri. Because again, the Gemara says to Sanhedrin that Zimri could have defended himself and killed Pinchas. But the punchline here of Rav Nachman Omer Rav is Umelech Alkum Imo. And apparently this Alkum word, which is a very ambiguous word, is an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Kel at the beginning, Aleph Lamed, and then Kum has to do with Nekama, with taking revenge. Vehu Eni Odea, it's as if Pinchas thinks that he's making all these calculations, when is a good time to attack Zimri and how to defeat Zimri, but really it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, who's the Kel Nekama, who's Emo, who's really protecting him and is going to bring about the demise, the death of Zimri. So again, you know, there are things going on here. On one level, you know, Zimri's having these immoral acts, these cohabitations with Cosby. Pinchas is waiting until Zimri is weak, and then he's going to attack him. Sounds like the story of Sisera with Yael. In any event, there's a much deeper thing going on over here, which is called Melech Alkum Imo, that really the miraculous protection of Hashem is going to bring about the success of Pinchas in his battle, in his attack against Zimri. Let's take a look at the Rambam as he addresses the question of Melech HaMashiach, and this perhaps is going to shed a light on Balak and Balak's commissioning Bilam to curse the Jewish people. The Rambam writes, HaMelech HaMashiach Asid Lamod Ulahachzir Malchus Beis David Liyoshna. The key of keys, says the Rambam, when we want to talk about Mashiach, is to bring about at some point in the future a Hachzoras Malchus Beis David, to bring about again the reestablishment of Malchus Beis David, HaMemshola Rishona, the original Malchus, which begins the lineage of royalty with David HaMelech, Ubone Migdash, the second role or agenda of the Melech HaMashiach is to build the Beis HaMigdash, and finally, Mekabetz Nidchei Yisrael, he will gather together the Nidachim, those who were sent into exile from all of gravitate towards Eretz Yisrael. V'chozrim kol mishpatim v'yomim k'shahayim mikodom, and all the mishpatim, that Jewish law will reign sovereign like it did in the earlier days. The Migdash is now built, makrivim karbonos, osim shmita v'yovos. Now we can reestablish the shmita v'yovos. Kechol mitzvasan hamur b'torah. The Rambam now speaks about the centrality and the significance of our belief in Mashiach, which, by the way, in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, codified by the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis, this is the last of the 13. V'chol misha eino mamin bo, anyone who questions Mashiach, o misha eino mechaka l'biyoso, he's not interested in waiting and longing for the biyasa Mashiach, lo b'shar nevim v'lvadu kofer al-b'torah uv'moshe Rabbeinu. It's not just that he's in denial of the words of prophets throughout the Jewish history of prophecy, but he's also undermining the Torah itself and Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. Sharia Torah he'idolov, the Torah testifies regarding Mashiach, v'shav Hashem elokecha shvuscha v'richamecha v'shav v'kibetzcha v'kol ha'amim im yeh nidachacha b'kitzei ha'shamayim mishom yikabetzcha Hashem elokecha mishom yikachecha v'yevicha Hashem elokecha l'aretz. Is Mudvar Mefuroshim, says the Ram, these are explicit verses in the Torah, Shem Kolim, called Dvarm Shinemral, they call it Neviim. It's really a shortened form and a bridge form of everything that the Neviim are going to say. And here's where the Rambam relates to our parsha, to Balak, and specifically to the Nevuah of Bilam. After Parshas Bilam, Nemar, Vishon Novo, Bishne Mashiche, Mashiach Harishon, who David Shoshias Yisrael miyad Tzareim Moshiach Ha'achman Sheyamu Vibonov Shemoshias Yisrael miyad Bnei Esav. The prophecy of Bilam reveals that there will be two Mashiachim. The first Mashiach was David HaMelech himself, and he was Moshias Yisrael. He saved the people from their enemies. And then finally, ultimate Mashiach, who will be from the descendants of David HaMelech, he will be Moshiach Yisrael Miyad Bnei Esav. Which brings up a whole different issue here about who our ultimate enemy is. The enemy of the Jewish people, is it Bnei Esav, Bnei Yishmael? The Rambam says it's Bnei Esav. Vishamhu Omer, and Bilam says in Parshas Balak, Erenu Velo Ata, and that's a reference to David, Ashuretu Velo Karv Zeh Melech HaMashiach, Darach Kochav Mi Yaakov Zeh David, Vekam Shevet Mi Yisrael Zeh Melech HaMashiach. All these double languages utilized in the formulation of the Nevuah by Bilam are allusions to both David HaMelech as the first Mashiach and the ultimate Mashiach at the end of days. Machatz Pasi Moav Zeh David. Moav here is related to David. We'll see about that as we go along. V'chenu Omer Vayach Es Moav Vayimadadein Bechevel. And then it says V'karko Kol B'nei Sheis Zeh HaMelech HaMashiach Shenemar Bo U'mishalomayim Ad Yom V'hoya Edom Yerusha. And all these psukim are indicating that there will be a Mashiach. And this is the Mashiach about which it says, V'olam Moshim V'artzil Nishpotis Hareisov. Now, what we want to take a look at, since we mentioned the Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh, Reb Chaim Vital, let's go back to the Ari himself. And this is something that is repeated in many shiurim by many of those who want to get an insight into Parshas Balak on a deeper level. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Bi'ar." To which location were these malachim of Balak sent? We know they were sent to Bilam, but where? Psora. Now, the word Psora has a corresponding word in Aramaic. The word Psora is the tar in Lashon Targum is a shulchan. And it's not coincidental that the story of the messengers that were sent by Balak to Bilam took place in a place called Psora. Psora is a code word not only for a particular location on the map, but also for the entire philosophy of Balak, the motivation of Balak and his security. Because after all, at the end of the Shira, we have Oz Nivalu Alufei Moav. The Alufei Moav were overridden by fear. Why? How does Balak, as the king of Moav, have the confidence that he can defeat Klal Yisrael? And the answer is Psora. Psora, as a representative of the Shulchan, we'll see the significance in a second of the Shulchan. That's the key. That's the secret to Balak's absolute conviction of his future victory against Klal Yisrael. Says the Ari Uma, Ola Bedaito Shel Balak Lilochem BiYisrael. Why did Balak really believe that he could defeat the Jews at battle? And the answer is, just like Korach, who is Cholik Al Moshe, why did Korach think that he could defeat Moshe? Lefisha Eino He Ta'aso, his eye, meaning seeing into the future, somehow confused him, or shall we say, led him to the wrong conclusion about himself. Sharosh Shmuel Omen Mizaro. Shmuel is going to be a descendant of Korach, and therefore Korach thinks that he's going to be the greatest, he's going to be victorious against Moshe. V'chein Balak, in a similar way, says the Ari, Rabik Samov, he had these kosems, these sorcerers that would look into the future, and Balak became aware of the fact he David Melech Yisrael Vizaro Asidim Lotzeis Mirusa Moaviyah Bas Melech Eglon. Rus from Moav, who's the daughter of the king Eglon, is a descendant of none other than Balak himself. And Balak now knows that if Rus is going to come from him as one of his descendants, and David is a descendant of Rus, Hine Malchus Beis David, it means that Mi Bnei Bonov Shel Balak, from the offspring, the descendants of Balak, we will have Malchus Beis David. And this was the remez, this was the allusion here in the pasuk, that Balak sent to Bilam Psora. Psora is a code word for David HaMelech. How is that so? Because Zachu Litol Keser Malchus, the offspring, the descendants of Balak through David HaMelech will acquire the Keser Malchus. Keser, of course, is a crown. Shu Remez, and this is a remez back to the Zer Zahav Saviv shal ha-shulchan. In the Beis HaMikdash there was the shulchan, and it had a crown made of gold around it on top of the shulchan. That's a reference, an allusion to Malchus, the symbolic representation of Malchus is the shulchan. And this is the message when it says Psora that Balak is sending to Bilam. Shelo yispache milskote im Yisrael. That Bilam should not shy away out of fear of battling against Israel. Hamanatzchim l'chol ha'umos, that seem to be defeating all the nations around them. As it says, Shomu amim yugazun. Aval yachol hu l'natzchim. Balak says to Bilam, we can defeat the nation of Israel despite their apparent power. Why? Lo yipol b'yodah, we're not going to fall into the hands. Ki arei asidim kol zera malchus beis David lotzeis mimenu, because Balak says, I am the father of beis David, that's going to come as one of my descendants, and that's malchus. And that's the psora of the shulchan representing the zer, the crown of malchus. And the one who expands upon this idea is the Igra the Kala, which is again one of the holy Svarim. And he writes that, why does the Lashon HaMikra say Vayogar Balak, Vayogar Moav, and not Vayira? You know, the more common name for fear is Vayira. Here it says Vayogar. And the answer is, he says, Yadua. And here we get into some concept which you could call Lurianic Kabbalah, meaning the Ari's Kabbalah is all based on this concept of Klipos and Nitzotz of Kedusha. The Klipos represent the shells of evil, so to speak. But what's hidden within these shells is a Nitzotz, some sort of spark of Kedusha, of sanctity. Yadua, now this is on a broader scale, a much more dramatic scale, not just in terms of looking at Klipos and Nitzotzah Shal Kedusha within the Klipos, but looking at nations and what keeps nations alive. We're not talking about the physical question of their existence, but the spiritual question. And the answer is that no matter how much Klipos they have, in other words, no matter to what extent the nation, whatever nation you choose, consists of Klipos, nevertheless, there are nitzotz of kedusha hashkuim besocha that are hidden deep below the surface of the klipos. They keep the klipos alive. Now, the job of Klal Yisrael, insofar as it's defeating the umos, defeating these klipos, is to see to it that the kedusha element will be removed, right? Those sparks of Kedusha, of sanctity, will be removed, will be freed, or redeemed, if you will, from the Klipos. Because, you know, what keeps the Umos Olam going, each one respectively, is their Klipos. And what keeps those Klipos alive is their Nitzotz of Kedusha, Shakuim, that are inside those klipos. So what happens is, if you, there's a domino theory, if you take away these nitzotzos of kedusha from the klipos, then there's nothing left. The nations simply disintegrate, so to speak. U'Yisrael mevarim hanitzotzos, it's Klal Yisrael that have the specific job, the responsibility of separating, if you will, the nitzotzos. It's like, you know, you have Meleches, Borer, Merakid, and Zorin, in order to separate the psolas from the ochel. Yisrael have to do that process of separation, of being mevarer the nitzotzos, getting that those good solid sparks of kedusha out of the klipos. The Ozai, and if they do so, if Klal Yisrael succeed in that venue, then Nisharim Umos Pagarim Vitisbatal Osa Uma. Then the Umos fall apart as dead bodies, as corpses, because what keeps them alive are these Nitzos Kedusha. Now Yisrael are able to collect and free these Nitzos Kedusha, Batal Osa Uma. And this is something that went on already in Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael took out certain Nitzotzos from Mitzrayim, and then Mitzrayim fell apart. Now, therefore, what the final bottom line of this discussion is, based on the Kabbalah of the Ari, is that a klipa asher yesh betocha nitzos kadosh gadol be'erech, that even though the kedusha here is only a little spark, it's a nitzav that has a tremendous value because it really keeps alive the klipa, and the entire existence of the nation depends upon those klipos. Now the klipa is seen as an entity, almost as a personality, a living being, and it suffers from fear because the klipa realizes that if the nitzotz that's within it is going to be removed, then it dies, and therefore there's a constant fear of the klipa against the onslaught of the tzaddikim, the kedushasim, that'll take away the kedusha, the nitzotz of kedusha within those klipos. Bilam is worried about his klipa, not only as an individual but as a representative of a nation, that it might be removed and could possibly disintegrate. Why? Because penyuluka chiyuso hamushkas hanitzos shel kedusha. So what therefore would this klipa do in order to protect itself against this onslaught? It has to really protect and defend its nitzotz of kedusha, make sure that no tzaddik can come near it. So what does it do? It pushes down the nitzotz of kedusha as deep and as concealed as possibly, you know, to the core, like the core of the earth, you know, the core of the klipa. Mi'od ma'od b'toch amke tumas haklipa. So this nitzotz is so trapped, it's pushed down many layers within the kedusha of the klipa, within the klipa, the tumah of the klipa, so the kedusha is all the way down at the bottom. He gives a mashal k'mo adam shematmin otzar. If a person has a treasure chest, so he hides it b'machbos, he puts it all the way down at the bottom, l'bal yishu tu bozarm, so no one could get a hold of it. And all this has to do with the message of Moav, of Balak Melech Moav to Bilam. Ikar chiyus ha'uma b'moav ha'yenitzos kedusha shel David v'zaro sher ha'yesofun v'tomun b'klipas Moav. The chiyus, the life force of the nation of Moav, is the nitzotz of kedusha, what could come out and will come out of Moav, and that's David v'zaro. And l'chein, as a matter of fact, as a result of the existence of this nitzotz that's going to be the generator of David HaMelech and Malchus Yisrael, the mitztavu Yisrael shelo lizgar ba b'melchama, the battle against Moav has to be postponed ad sheyagi hazman lizgalos hanitzotz hakodosh, when David HaMelech will come into existence and the nitzotz of kedusha of Moav will now be freed, it's out there in the world, oz misbatel mamlachtam shel Moav. Now we can attack Moav and destroy it. V'hine tisbonein lios hanitzotzahu nitzotz malchus Yisrael b'vada b'yosa shkua b'vishu melech l'mor b'chol zman v'idon kizelu mazeu malchusa d'sitra. It's just like the malchus of Kedusha, which is the malchus of Yisrael, of Beis David, that has its parallel in the Sitra Achron, the evil side, and that's the malchus of Moav, insofar as Balak is the melech of Moav. Is then the pasuk says, "Vayokatz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael." What does "Vayokatz" mean? Literally, it means to be revolted, but here it means milashim kotzim, to create, in a sense, a fence, a siag. Like, if, for example, you have a vineyard, you know, you put up these kotzim, these very thorny bushes, in order to protect the vineyard so no one could come in there. And that's exactly what Balak did. Asu kotzim v'siag mitumas klipas mov saviv lanitzot shel kedusha. And why mipnei bnei Yisrael l'bal yuchlu bnei Yisrael liga banitzot hameinielem kedusha. That from this nitzot magilem kedusha, and they have to now protect that nitzot of kedusha. They put up a fence v'yokatz mov mipnei bnei Yisrael, so that bnei Yisrael should not penetrate and free that nitzot of kedusha. And Bnei Yisrael is a reference to the highest level of the Jewish nation, and not Am or Stam nation. It's Bnei Yisrael Hatzadikim Achashum Shevadei Lo Yavo L'Tumas Atzma Meklipa Ki Achiku B'Tavchei Shkeshes. There will be a natural, almost innate or instinctual recoiling on the part of the tzaddikim from Moab, from, you know, they wouldn't even dream of attacking and getting close to Moab in order to free the nitzotz of Kedusha. Why is that? Because Moab creates these fences of Tumah, and a tzaddik doesn't want to have any contact with Tumah. Therefore, he'll naturally stay away. Now, what I want to study with you is the Kli Chemda on Parshas Balak. He adds another dimension to this whole discussion that we had here about Malchus Beis David being the key to generate the existence of Moab as a nation because of the Nitzotzos of Kedusha Malchus Beis David. He says that Chazal tell us Amoni velo Amonis, and Moab, Moavi velo Moaviyah. Of course, this is the basic halacha, the principle that you can have a convert, from a female convert from Amon and Moav, and that's why we were able to have Rus Amoaviyah, and ultimately through the relationship between Boaz and Rus down the line, four generations, to have David HaMelech. And the Gemara analyzes this in Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav Daf Ayin Zayin. Why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gzeira, the prohibition of allowing Amon and Moav only apply into the Jewish nation, only applies to the males and not to the females? And the answer is because these nations were guilty of Lo Kidmu Eschem Belechem Amayim, of cruelty vis-a-vis the Jewish nation. But in the case of the women folk, we apply the principle of Kol Kvodo Basmelch Pnim of Tznius. As a result of the tznius of Amon and Moav, meaning the Ammonis and the Moavis, the women of Amon and Moav who didn't go out publicly because they were about kol kvod basmelch pnima and tznius, al yidei ze yochol hoya David HaMelech limloch al Yisrael. So the key to getting a David HaMelech, because otherwise how could Boaz marry Rus, is kol kvod basmelch pnima. Is the fact that the Bnos Amon and Moav were tznuos and they stayed in. That's the excuse. That's the so to speak, the permission to marry a bas Moav after she converts. Ubilam rotza lakor malchus beis David. Bilam wants to get rid of the malchus beis David. He see on eitz azual as nuts. Why did Bilam come up with this counsel, this advice to Balak to send the Bnos Moav for znus, for immorality? Maholchu Bnos Midjan of Moav lachutz v'kishtu. They were lachutz means instead of pnima in the case of tznius, but lachutz and kishtu atzman. They beautified themselves in an attractive way to allure the Jewish men. If kiras atzman l'znus. If that's be the so, al yidei ze is batel ha tirutz shel kol kvod basmel pnima. The reason why the gzera against Moav didn't apply to bas Moav, to the women folk, is because kol kvod basmel pnima. But Bilam wanted to switch that around and undermine the kol kvod basmel pnima application to bnos Moav by sending them lahafkir satzman viznus. Is then, if there's no teretz of kol kvod basmel pnima, then not only lo yavam Moav beklal, but even Moavis v'lo yachol lios malchus beis David, and in that sense, there won't be a malchus beis David. Is lachein kevan shera and avur shel malchus beis David rotzal le'akra b'koach zeh. Once it became clear to Bilam that there's a malchus beis David, that the prophecy is about malchus beis David, he tried Bilam to do whatever he could lachar, to use the koch of znus to be oker malchus beis David, because again, the only way malchus beis David could come out and come into existence is because of tznius, and that's the tznius of the Bnos Moav of kol kvod basmelch pnima, which justifies why they didn't come to give water and sustenance and food to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't cruelty, but rather it was modesty. But now the modesty is gone, and therefore there's no explanation or justification for allowing a Bas Moav to enter into Klal Yisrael and be Mizgayer, and that be the case is no Malchus Beis David. So we see clearly from all of that which we've learned that the battle here is about Malchus Beis David. In fact, at this point, I wanted to share with you an interesting insight about the fact that Chazal tell us on the pasuk Vayomer Elov Malach Hashem Al Mahi Kisa Sason Chazesh Shalosh Regolim She Bikesh Lakar Shalosh Regolim Yisrael, and that's Keneged Shalosh Regolim Keneged the Gimel Avos. But there's more to it than that, because Shmini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzmo. It also has a din of a regel. And not only that, Shmini Atzeres, which is the fourth regel, is keneged David HaMelech, because we say that there are four raglayim to the Merkava, and the fourth regel is keneged David HaMelech. And that's Shmini Atzeres. And it's interesting, therefore, to look at the pasuk which says Sholosh Regolim Tachog Li Bashana, and the word Tachog, which is written without a Vav, is Keneged Avraham, Tof Ches Gimel Keneged Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And then it's the fourth regal of Chag HaTzeres, as the Pasuk says at the end of Bamidbar B'yom HaShmini HaTzeres Tiyel Lachem. And Atzeres is, according to Chazal, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Ches, a regel b'fnei atzma. So the Sholosh Regolim, Shmini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzma, making it four regolim. And that's Keneged Mogen David, which is the sod of regel revius l'kisei ha-merkava. And Balak says to Bilam, v'ata l'cha na. So the Igra, the Kala, the concept here of Noah is to attack David HaMelech. Levatel Shmini Atzeres Shuyom Nun Aleph Miyamei Hatshuva Shehem Keneged David HaMelech. So there are 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Shmini Atzeres, and those 40 days are the Yemei HaRatzon, the Yemei HaTshuva. Then comes Shmini Atzeres. And Shmini Atzeres is 51, the 51st day after Rosh Chodesh El of the Yemei Ratzon and the Yemei Tshuva. And that day of Shmini Atzeres is Keneged, it corresponds to David HaMelech, and that's why Balak says to Bilam, V'ata L'cha Na. Na means Nun Aleph, which is a reference to Shmini Atzeres and to David HaMelech. But let's get back to our discussion about the significance of David HaMelech as representing the Malchus space of the Nitzotz of Kedusha in the Klipa of Moab. And we'd like to take a look at a Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamech Ches. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe al Teitzer es Moav al Tizgar bom milchoma Ma ol al Daito shel Moshe lasas milchoma shel Rishus. What was the Havamin of Moshe to go out in battle against Moav? He didn't get the permission to do so. El Nosa Moshe kal milchoma v'yatzmo O ma mijonim shelo ba'u el lazor es Moav. Actually, the initiator was Balak and Moav, and the facilitator or the helper was Midjan. And yet, Omer Torah, with regard to Midjan, the Torah says, "Soras Midjan v'kisim olsam," is how much more so that we should attack Moav atzma lo kol shkenam ola kodesh baruch hu lo kisha olsa al daitcha olsa al daitcha. I had a different thought. Shtei predos tovas yeshli lahotzi mehen. There will be two beautiful nishamos that will be born through the ancestors, through the descendants of Moav. And who are they? That's Rus HaMoaviyah V'Na'ama HaAmonis. So you see once again that the protection of Balak and Moav really depends upon Rus and ultimately Malchus Beis Dovid. That's the Nitzotz of Kedusha that keeps Moav in existence. Now, there's a very interesting Medrash on Parshas Matos in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, where Hashem tells Moshe, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'es HaMijonim Achar Te'yosef El Amecha. And the Medrash in Yelamdenu says the following: Nemar Hakosuv B'Kefal Loshen Nokom Nikmas. Why the double language? Nokom Nikmas, a double avenge, a double revenge. Echad Kineged Midyan V'Echad Kineged Moav. There's going to be a revenge against Midyan and a revenge against Moav. V'alo Moav hoya t'chilo li'etza ro'a al Yisrael shenem v'yomer Moav el ziknei Midyan ato yelachechu akol es kol suvoseinu u'manishtanu Midyan mi Moav shenem ar nekom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'es ha-Midyanim. If Moav took the initiative, why is it that Hashem is punishing and battling against Midyan, Nekom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'es HaMidyan? What happened to Moav? In Moav's case, it says, Al Totzer Es Moav, we don't go to battle against Moav. Why is that so? Ella, the answer is, David Osid Lotzeis Mehem, Erusam O'Eviyah, that from Moav we will have David. Is Omer Lama Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael? God says to the people of Israel, "Hamtinu lahem lamoavim, stave off, wave, you know, delay the battle against against Moavim. V'al timkubu b'hem adayin, don't take nekom against them just yet. Mitzia yeshli beinayim ekochenu mehem v'akach asu nekoma b'hem," which is obviously a reference to David HaMelech. That's the Metziah that's going to come from Moav, specifically from Rus HaMoaviyah. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Israel, now's not the right moment to destroy Moav, we'll do that at the time of David HaMelech. V'chein matzinu shekeven shepot David misara Kadosh Baruch Hu li'am HaMoavi biyado shenemar vayach es Moav vayemadadeim bechevel. And that's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Ches. That's when Hashem will decide to destroy Moav. Now the nitzotz of Kedusha, of the Klipa of Moav, is completely removed, separated from the Klipa. And that's Malchus Beis Dovid. Once Malchus Beis Dovid emerges as a reality, now HaKadosh Baruch is Moser, Moavi, Biyado, and Vayach es Moav Vayimadintem. I'd like to see an insight here of one of the Gaonim, or Pinchas Friedman, in a mimer here about Parshas Balak. Zayin Mizbechos Yudal Karbonos. We know that Balak commanded Bilam, Vayishma Balak Kibba Bilam Vayetzi Likrosol Ir Moav Asher Al Gvul Arnon Asher Bikzei HaGvul. Three times the Torah repeats that Balak tried to bring Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Once in Perek Chav Beis, again a second time in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Yedalid, and finally a third time, later on in Perek Chaf Gimel, Vayikach Balak es Bilam Rosh HaPa'or V'nishkaf al B'nei Yahayishima. Now, in each of these three cases, Bilam asks Balak to build him seven altars, seven mizbechos. V'yakriv, and it'll be makriv on each one of these seven mizbechos, a par and an aisle. Now that means that if he had seven mizbechos and he brought two karbonos in each of these seven, he brought 14 karbonos on these seven mizbechos. But this happened three times over. So we're talking about three times 14, which is 42. And therefore, the Gemara says in Nazir and Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Omer Rabbi Yudom Arav, Liolom Yasok, Oda B'Torah V'Mitzvus, Afil Shalol Lishman, Shemitok Shalol Lishman, Bol Lishman, Shebeschar Mem Beis, Karbono Shehikriv, Bolok HaRosha, Zocha V'Yotza Mimenu, Rus HaMoaviyah. V'Yom Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, Rus Bas B'no Shal Eglon, Melech Moav Haisa. So Rus is the descendant of Balak. And why was Balak given that schar of Rus? Because of the 42 karbonos that he brought. Shehikriv Balak HaRosha. And this is Mitok Shalolishma. Obviously the purpose of Balak bringing these karbonos was not because of his love for God or his love for the people of Israel, but rather to try to undermine them through the klola of Bilam. So we have here this magic number called Membeis Karbonos. Why is it necessary? Why does Balak Melech Moav think it's the right thing, it's the strategic plan to demand of Bilam? Well, let's put it the other way around. Why does Bilam think it's the strategic and successful way of destroying Klal Yisrael by telling Balak every time he tries to curse the people of Israel to build him these seven mizbechos and be makriv 14 karbonos? And the answer is because the entire purpose here, the matara, was to prevent the nitzotz of Dovin HaMelech Shalo Yetze Mimoav, to retain, as we said, Vayokatz Moav, to create this protection of Dovin HaMelech in the ancestry of Moav. Lachain banu shiva mizbechos, the magic number seven mizbechos is keneged Dovin HaMelech. Why? Because Chazal established that there are seven shepherds, seven great people in Klal Yisrael. There's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef. That's six, and number seven is David. So the seven mizbechos is keneged David. And they were makriv on these seven mizbechos 14 karbonos. And that number 14 is very significant because David, which is Dalad with a Vav in the middle, is 8 and 6 is 14, so the key number here is 14. So we have 7 insofar as David is number 7 in the list of Roim, and we have 14 as a number because 14 is the gematria of David. Ki chashvu lifol bekach sheyishar etzlam hanitzotz shel David HaMelech. So they're using numbers of mizbechos, of korbanos, in order to keep connected and strengthen that connection to the nitzotz, to that spark within Moav of David HaMelech. Now, Lamaisa, everything was turned inside out because Bishar Membeis Karbonos Sheikri Balak HaRosh Zocha V'yotza Mimenu Rus. Instead of retaining and holding on and concealing David HaMelech within the fold of Moav, the opposite happened. And Rus came to the fore, and ultimately David, and at that point Hashem could command the people of Israel to destroy Moav. Now, it's interesting that David HaMelech, in his Tehillim, in Kuf Yud Ches, he says, Kol goyim svavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam sabuni gam svuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam sabuni ki dvarim dochu keish kotze b'shem Hashem ki amil. Three times he repeats this poem, if you will, this liturgy. And what's he trying to say over here? He's trying to say, David HaMelech, that on three occasions svavuni they surrounded me. These are the three occasions in which Balak and Bilam build the mizbechos. And each time David HaMelech mentions that his enemies surrounded him, he adds, B'shem Hashem ki amilam, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed on each one of these times his name Havaya, Shem Hashem ki amilam. And that's going to be a powerful tool, Kadeshi Yot Lahasim Dover P Bilam Shalo Yuchal Lekalel Es Yisrael. So there's a special power in the Shem Hashem Ki Amilan, the Shem Havaya, to protect the people of Israel, so that the Klol of Bilam would not be successful. Now again, you know, there's another fundamental issue here which requires a lot of analysis, and that is what's the Havamina that the Klol of Bilam could be meaningful? Hashem is protecting Klal Yisrael. So what's in the Klol? That is, of course, addressed by the Rishonim already, whether it's the Abarbanel head on here in Bolok, whether it's the Ramban in Bolok. What is the significance of the Klola of Bilam had he been left to his own druthers? But at least we have a grasp of the Dalit of, excuse me, the Zion Mizbechos and the Dalit Karbonos. And of course, of the number three, the significance of the number three, on three occasions, Balak tries to bring Bilam to curse the people of Israel. And on all these three occasions, Balak is commanded, is mandated by Bilam to build seven Mizbechos. And this is all to connect with David HaMelech, the number seven being the fact that David is the seventh Roer. And two karbonos, an aisle and a par on each one of the seven mizbechos. That means 14 animals. And the number 14, as we said, is very significant because that's the gematria of David HaMelech. Excuse me, this whole push, this whole project of Bilam and Balak together is to tap into David HaMelech and keep him within the Moavi fold. You know, not to allow for David HaMelech to get out there, because once he's public, and once he goes public, so to speak, then the nitzotz of Kiddush has been freed, has been separated from the Klipa of Moav, and therefore there was an attempt to retain the Klipa within the Klipa, the nitzotz of David HaMelech, through the seven Mizbechos and the 14 Karbonos. And the paradox of it all is mitoch shalolishma is balishma, meaning that the intention of Balak here is really reversed. If his intention is to keep and hold on to the nitzos of Kedusha, that's Malchus Beis David, and keep it quiet, the exact opposite happens, because as the way in which David HaMelech is going to come into existence, meaning through Rus HaMoavia, this is all going to be a result of the Karbonos. So the Karbonos now of Balak and Bilam generate the existence of Rus, and therefore of David HaMelech. And that's and the David HaMelech becoming the king of Israel is exactly antithetical to the nation of Moab and the intention of Balak here at the beginning of our parasha. Now, Rav Pinchas Friedman goes on and he says that now maybe we can understand a pasuk, Hachoshev machshavos lebilti yidach mimenu nidach. The Choshev machshavos is the Balak and Bilam agenda. They are the shorish of all tumah, and they want to create a situation where they'll prevent the kedusha that's within Moav of coming out, that nitzotz of kedusha of David HaMelech, who's going to be the Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach. But paradoxically, lebilti yidach mimenu nidach, the exact opposite is going to take place. That without their kavana, and this is the case of Shalol Lishma, they, Balak and Bilam, they themselves are directly causing the Yitziah of David HaMelech Mimoav, that David HaMelech should be born to Moav. So here we have an insight into Rabbi Yehuda Marav's statement of Liolam Yasuk Adam V'Torah V'Mitzvah Afil Shalol Lishman Shemitoh Shalol Lishman Bal Lishman Shebischar Membeis Karbonah Shehikri Balak Karosha. Zocha v'yotza mimenu rus, yotzas mimenu rus. Rashi says she yotza mimenu dovid. La kodesh baruch hu she shar shirim la kodesh baruch hu v'shiros v'tishpachos. And now we see that this maimar of Rabbi Yehuda bar Rav has a deeper meaning to it. It means that mitosh lo lishma bo lishma means b'schus a person's dedication to Torah and mitzvahs, even shelo lishma, he'll be zocha to great things because it says in the Yerushalmi Divrei Torah aniyim b'mkomam v'ashirim b'mokom acher, and from those who are dedicated to Torah mitzvahs, even shelo lishman, is zoche lebonov yis asku ben lishman. And the raya for this is dafka Balak, because from Balak you're going to get children that are oskim lishma, meaning David HaMelech is going to be osek b'torah lishma, and he's going to come from Balak, even though Balak is shelo lishman. And as we said, as the Mokra Tumi wants to create the exact opposite effect, but what happens is he's zochet to have Rus, and from Rus David. So there's a pella here of the Darkei Hashem. It's really amazing, it's marvelous that Balak himself, by fighting this terrible battle through the Hakrovas Membeis Karbonos of keeping the Kedusha for himself, keeping David HaMelech for himself, the result was the exact reverse, the exact opposite. Dafkal Yedei Zeh, through this hakrava, this process of hakrava's karbonos, the membeis karbonos, is zoche v'yotze mimenu rus. Now, I want to share with you an insight here of the Ma'aril Diskin, who was the Rav in Brisk, and most of it I can understand. The last line, maybe you'll help me with, it says that there's Torah's Moshe, but the Chazal say that there's also Torah's Bilam. Now, what is Torah's Moshe? Torah's Moshe is a phrase that really incorporates so much of everything, everything that's Torah. Now, for example, there are stories in the Torah, there are prophecies in the Torah, and it's all Torah's Moshe. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives over to Moshe a record of all the stories that have to be incorporated into the Torah. And also, in addition to that, he says, Af Pikein, Masal HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Maisa B'Yesod, Gam, and even in the Nevuos, is Gam B'Tevos HaSipur Nimrozim Dvarim Achirim Rabbi Main Kates Vakol Niglal Moshe. There's an infinite amount of wisdom in the Torah that's given over and revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Af Nevuos Shenemru Lachem Kvon Leavram Lenoach Leitzchak Uliyakov Chas V'Shom Lo Kematik Moshe Osam Nichtavu B'Tor Sein Akadosha. In other words, Moshe had the most profound level of Amunah of anybody, so when Hashem passes on to him, transmits to him the nevuos of all those other neviim, he, Moshe Rabbeinu, sees those same nevuos from a special perspective called Aspaklaria Hameira. He's not a matik, he's not a sofer, but he sees things in a different perspective. And Kasher Mosram Lo Hashem Yisproch Ato Beruach HaKodesh Yoda Osa Nevuah B'Yeser Oz. Any nevuah that was revealed of other nevuim that was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, in total grasp, total control of knowledge, complete knowledge of that nevuah b'yeser oz. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu received these nevuos that were really initially given to other nevuim. He was able to tap into that. And once it was revealed to him, and he had access to all these nevuahs of all the other nevuim, he saw their nevuah, and understood it from the perspective of Aspaklaria Meira. That's called Torah's Moshe, that even the stories, even the Nevuos, whatever you have, it's all Torah's Moshe. So Moshe, again, is not a guy, he's not a scribe, he is in control, he is in grasp, he has a grasp on all the Nevuos. They become like his Nevuos. Zulase, he says, but one exception, that's Parshas Bilam. Here, Moshe is nothing more than a Ma'atik B'alma. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu takes over the Nevuah of Bilam and now he, Moshe Rabbeinu, becomes like the Navi of these Nevuahs. No, this is no longer Taurus Moshe. This is already Taurus Bilam. Here Moshe Rabbeinu plays a secondary mechanical role as a Sofer Kematik B'Alma. And now he adds another line here, the Ma'aril Disk, which I don't understand. He says, Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biaron Litova Bifi Bilam Bechol Mini Kavanos. Now I think what's going on here is that there are two dimensions to the Nevuah of any prophet and also to that of Bilam. There's the prophecy as it's given, and then there's the formulation as it's in the spoken word. Now, in the case of Bilam, Bilam received the Nevuah. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's going to interpret and embellish the Nevuah. The formulation there will be that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The language will come from on high. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu, in contrast to all the other Nevuahs of other Nevi'im, becomes nothing more than a scribe. And that's why it's called Toras Bilam, not Toras Moshe. So again, in regard to all of the Nevuahs, Moshe Rabbeinu has an aspaklaria meira over those Nevuahs. And he formulates the words of the Holy Torah, and there's no problem here of Moshe being like nothing more than a scribe. He's a lot more than a scribe. It's Torah's Moshe because Moshe Rabbeinu is formulating these Nevuahs. Not so in the case of Toras Bilam. There, Moshe Rabbeinu simply plays a mechanical role as a scribe. And who's going to interpret the Nevuah and embellish it? Not Moshe Rabbeinu, as he did with regard to the Nevuah of others, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that's what's called Hoya Mahapcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hoya Mahapcha Kavodes Bilam Mira L'Tova. Fine. It's kedai to emphasize in this context that Moshe Rabbeinu, with regard to Nevuas Bilam, really plays a secondary role. That's why it's called Nevuas Bilam, Al Shem Bilam, not Al Shem Moshe, Al Shem Toras Moshe. And if one of the essential points, as we saw in the Rambam that we started with today, of Nevuas Bilam is Melech HaMashiach, Melech David, David Malchus based David as the first Melech HaMashiach, then Moshe Rabbeinu is excluded. And that's an interesting piece because Moshe Rabbeinu actually wanted to become a Melech. And Hashem said no. Again, Moshe was a Melech, but Hashem said no. What does that mean? In the snare, back in Shmos Gimel, Vayomer, Hashem says to Moshe, Al Tikrav Halom. And the word Halom is a secret word, says the Gemara in Zvachim, for Malchus. Omar Ula Bikesh Moshe Malchus V'lo Nitnolo. Dichsiv Al Tikrav Halom. V'ein Halom Ela Malchus. The word Halom is a code word for Malchus. Shenemar Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim Kevisani Ad Halom, that David HaMelech declares that you gave me Halom, meaning you gave me Malchus. Masiv Rava Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yevama Molach, Yevama meaning the Yavam of Elisheva. Elisheva was married to Aaron, so her Yavam was Moshe Rabbeinu Molach. He was a king. Okay, he was a king, Moshe, but he wasn't the king in the sense of the royalty that would be given over through his children for all generations. That was given to David HaMelech. And the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Vayomer Lo Boaz Li Esa Ochel, Gishi Halom. Boaz says Gishi to Rus Halom. And what's Halom? Omar Abelazar Remez Romez La Asido Malchus Beis David Lotzeis Menet Dixiv Be Halom. Shenemar Vayovo Melech David Vayeshev Uthnei Hashem Vayomer Mi Anochi Ad Hashem Umi Basic Evisani Ad Halom. Halom again is Malchus. And this entire story about Malchus is for David HaMelech and not for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the father of Malchus. David HaMelech is Malchus based David. And I want to study with you an insight here of the Shem Mishmul, the Sukkot Shava. For Chag HaShavuos, he says that he heard from the Kotzker Rebbe that Inyan HaMelucha Loya Nimtza B'Yisrael, that the whole concept of Melucha is something that, in a certain sense, is foreign to Klal Yisrael. What does that mean, that Melucha is foreign to Klal Yisrael? Vayutzrichim, says the Kotzker, Likach Zos, where did they get the concept of Melucha from, and the physical Melech from Amon Umov? And what this means is that, as far as Klal Yisrael, every person in Israel is sanctified. He has that common identical sanctity to every other Jew, and the concept of a melech that have the greatest sanctity. It's like, imagine in the body you have different evarim in the body. Each evar plays a role. Moshe Rabbeinu was the melech because he was nivdal miklal Yisrael. He wasn't considered like an evar of every klal Yisrael. Moshe shokel keneged klal Yisrael. But as far as the balance of the nation of Israel, there's no one who is shokel kenegdom like Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore where's the room for Malchus? Is Hutzrichu Yisrael litol hamelucha me'amen u'mo'av? Now, why amen u'mo'av? Why is melucha for Klal Yisrael, why is it inherent in amen u'mo'av? And the answer is, because what is the klipa, the negative or evil of mo'av? It's geus, it's gaiva. As the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu Anovi Perek Tes Zayin, Shamanu Gaon Moav Geimaot. So Moav personifies Gaiva, and believe it or not, that has its Zelu Mazez, has its positive side in Malchus. And that's the Nefesh of David HaMelech, which is in the, you know, the Nitzot of Kedusha, which is hidden, concealed deep, deep, deep in the below all the layers of the Klipas Moav. The Klipas Moav is the Klip of Gaiva. And what is the Kedusha of Gaiva that David HaMelech represents? Lahotzi Inyan Hisnasus, the ability to have leadership, Mea Klipa Laviel HaKedusha, to use this Gaiva, this you know, lording over the other ones for Kedusha, for L'Shem Shemayim, and not Chas Shon, the opposite. And it's interesting that Shol HaMelech failed to become the Melech of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yuma that Mishum Shalohoyevo Shum Dofi. What does that mean? He had no element of Gaiva. As Shmuel says to Shaul, he says, hello, in Katan Ato Beinecha Rosh Shivte Yisrael Ato. Because if you recall in the episode of Amalek, it was Shaul's Anova Shiflis of Katan Ato Beinecha. He kowtowed to the people and he lost the Melucha. Because the essence of Melucha is Geus, is Srara, is lording it over and leadership. And that, and in Shaul HaMelech's cases, Yoresa Esa'am, as Shaul HaMelech himself admits, Yoresi Esa'am Va'eshma Bekolam. He succumbs to the pressure of the people of Israel, and he doesn't destroy Amalek. He can't be Melech because he doesn't have this Geus, this Gaiva. And it's Dafka David HaMelech who has this Geus, insofar as he is the Nitzos Kedusha of the Klip of Moab, the Klip of Moab being Geus. And we come back to the concept that we mentioned earlier about the actions of the greats of Israel. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we started with on Daf Pei Beis, in this case Amud Beis, that tells us that Zimri had 424 cohabitations with Cosby. And if you look at Reb Chaim Vital, he writes, Ki kol maisa rishonim uma gam haniska b'torah eina bilvad kipashtan v'einim derch hizdamin u'mikrach has v'sholom and so forth and so on, what we said before, that why was Zimri guilty of 424 Be'ilos? And we get back to the Igra Dekala that we mentioned before, that the secret weapon here of Moav was that Nitzotz of Kedusha of David HaMelech. And that was only made possible because of the Tznius, that answer of the question why the Torah allowed a Moaviah to enter into Klal Yisrael, in this case of Rus, for example. And that's because of Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima. And now Moav wants to, you know, wants to undermine this whole idea of Tznius by sending out the Benos Moav for Znus. So he writes that Ha'isha Azos Asher Nitzotz Tomen Bekirba Tirdof Acher Amon Yisrael Havi Nitzotz Hakadosh Hahu L'Toch HaKedusha Maisa Berus HaTzadek Is Boaz Belat V'Shoch V'Margolis V'Margolos Boaz L'Vakish Minev Al Nafra Tomen Bekirba B'Yomra U'Parashto Kanfecha Olai Ki Goel Ato V'Hine Zos is that we can say about Zimri ben Solu that he thought that Kozbi he didn't think we have to wait till Rus down the line to find the Nitzotz of Kedusha for David HaMelech. We thought that Zimri, that Kozbi was the woman, the Benos Moav, the Bas Moav, who had in hidden within her the Nitzotz Kedusha of Malchus Beis David, u'mimena yishtal shel kol Malchus Beis David. Now if you take the words Mashiach ben David and you calculate their mathematical significance, you'll come up with a gematria of Tof Chof Dalet. And this is what the Gemara has a remez in the word Zarzur, that Zimri had 424 cohabitations with Kozbi, in order, and again, we were wondering about that hyperbole of 424 cohabitations on one day. It means Mashiach ben David, Zimri thinks that he's going to bring about the nitzotz of Mashiach ben David. Kavanoso Haisal Kidei Levara, we spoke earlier about the concept in the Arizal of Birur, to be Mavar, the nitzotz of Nishmas Mashiach ben David, which is a gematria of 424, and maybe that's what it means that Zimri had 424 cohabitations with Kozbi Bas Tzur. Now, there's another discussion here, which we're not going to get into at this point, about what's called Klipas Yishmael and Klipas Esav, Klipas Esav is called the Klip of the Shor, the Klip of Yishmael is called the Klip of the Chamor, and all this is a result of Chet Adam HaRishon, these two Klipos. And connected these two Klipos of Shor v'Chamor, we have the Kedusha of Mashiach ben David. He's going to overcome the Klipa of the Chamor, meaning Yishmael, and that's Oni v'Rochev al HaChamor. Then we have Mashiach ben Yosef, who's called a Shor, as it says, B'chor Shor HaHodolo, and that's going to be to overcome the Klip of Esav. That's the role of Mashiach ben Yosef, to attack the Shor, which is the Klip of Esav. In any event, we spoke a lot about Mashiach and about Malchus Beis David, and we want to end the Shia by saying that if the Rishayim saw that their whole existence is justified or retained by the nitzotz of Mashiach, then how much more so should we appreciate the significance of Mashiach? And as the Rambam says, that Emunah and Mashiach and waiting, anticipating for the Mashiach is something so critical that it really defines the belief of Klal Yisrael. It's one of the essential beliefs, and this element of Emunah b'Mashiach is something that we want to emphasize and pray for and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we enter in tonight to the 3 weeks, the period of Avelus for the Churban, that we should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to be as Goel to Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Gula Shlema, the Neir of Yemenu Amen, so we don't have to have 3 weeks of Avelus, but rather 3 weeks of Simcha and Sasa. Kei Yiratzah.